Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 12.
Will there be any stars in your crown in eternity? Well, let's determine to win many to Christ this year and therefore fulfill the promise of this blessed verse. Daniel chapter 12, let's read verses 1 to 3. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 reads, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, I pray now once again that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you would teach us from your word how we can turn many to righteousness, and why there is a great need to turn many to righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As you study the book of Daniel, you'll find that on the whole it is a prophetic book. Much of the book of Daniel is prophetic in nature. It makes reference to future prophecy. And it's within this beloved book that we have the prophetic timeline for the nation of Israel. For God informs Daniel that there are 70 prophetic years. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, there are 70 prophetic years, the equivalent of 490 years, that will bring to an end God's dealings with the nation of Israel. And as of today, 69 of those prophetic years have been fulfilled to the letter. To the letter. And there is one more year, one more prophetic year, or in other words, 7 more years to be fulfilled in order to complete God's dealings with the nation of Israel. Please note there in Daniel chapter 9, please, verse number 27 for a moment. Daniel 9, 27. Now concerning this 1 week or this last 7-year period which is yet to be fulfilled, the Bible teaches us here in verse 27, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now what that means in essence is that this last 7 year period, which will bring to a climax or a conclusion of God's dealing with his people, this 7 year period will be ignited with a treaty, a peace treaty, involving the nation of Israel. A world leader will arise and will bring this to pass, and he will promise peace and prosperity for all. And first and foremost, he will promise peace, peace with the nation of Israel, peace within the land of Israel. Seems like they're constantly going on about peace in Israel for some reason. So this 7 year period will begin with a peace treaty, the Bible teaches us here in verse 27 of chapter 9. But in the middle of that 7 year period, this world leader, this dictator that will control the world, the Bible makes reference to him and calls him the man of sin, the Antichrist, the beast. And yes, after 3.5 years, he will reveal that he is really the beast. He will move into the Jewish temple and he will demand that no longer sacrifices are to be made, but you will worship me. I am your God. And from that point on, he will persecute openly and seek to destroy the nation of Israel. And in Matthew chapter 24, it makes reference to God's people fleeing to the mountains. And as we read here in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, this is in reference to that time of judgment that Jeremiah calls the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. And this Antichrist will seek to exterminate God's people. But the Bible teaches us here in Daniel chapter 12, verse number 1, that God has appointed an archangel by the name of Michael to protect the people of God, and therefore the Antichrist will not be able to completely annihilate God's people, the nation of Israel. Now, if you go back to chapter 11, there is reference to this Antichrist, this world dictator. For the sake of time, let's read verse number 36 of chapter 11 of Daniel. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Look at verse 38. But in his estate shall he honour the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honour with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. So chapter 11 makes reference to this Antichrist, this beast, this world dictator. And as I've already said, within this last 7 year period of time known as the tribulation period, 3.5 years into that time, he will reveal his true colors and he will demand worship. And he will set up an image within the Jewish temple and he will call upon people to worship his image. Otherwise, death. And this is all part of this tribulation period. He will exalt himself and say, I am God. And we see this onslaught upon the nation of Israel in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And this is what Daniel makes reference to in the little statement there. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. So there is a time of judgment and persecution to come that has never happened in time past. That's yet future. And it'll take place within this last 7-year period that God has designated to complete his dealings with his people. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 12 for a moment, please. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 makes reference to the satanic onslaught against the nation of Israel in determining to destroy them utterly during this 7-year period. Note there in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 13, and when the dragon, that is Satan, saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. The woman is in reference to Israel, which brought forth the man-child. The man-child is in reference to the Savior. The Lord Jesus came through the nation of Israel. Note then verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of his seed, which keepeth the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So if you go back to Daniel chapter 12, verse number 1, Daniel makes reference to this time to come, which is yet future, and there'll never be, ever, a time like it. This time of trouble here, mentioned in verse number 1 of Daniel chapter 12, is in reference to a 7-year period of judgment, a tribulation period, of which Revelation chapter 6 all the way through to chapter 19 gives us specific details concerning the judgments that will prevail during this time. The details of this time concerning God's wrath and God's judgment. And it's within this time period that the devil, who empowers the Antichrist, will seek to exterminate God's people, the nation of Israel. But God appoints Michael, the archangel, to take charge over them and to protect them from complete extermination. Now may I make it very clear that the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is coming again. And when Jesus Christ comes, he will come imminently for his people that will make up his bride. Oh, we had the witness of a wedding here yesterday morning. It was beautiful. You'll note some of the aftermath still here. And there is coming a day, beloved, that you and I as God's people, for those of us that have received Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, the Bible teaches us Jesus Christ is coming again. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Christians that have passed away, they will be resurrected. And then we which are alive and remain shall be literally caught up, raptured, to meet the Lord in the air, the Lord Jesus, the bridegroom. We become his bride, and so shall we ever be with him. That's a hope that we have as God's people. Now once that happens, that will ignite this 7-year judgment period, which will be a so-called time of peace, a peace treaty will be signed with the nation of Israel, but yet it will be a time of judgment where God pours out his judgment upon the nation of Israel. But for those of us that are Christians, we will not go through this period of judgment. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:9 teaches us, for God hath not appointed us a day of wrath, the wrath of God. But God has appointed us salvation through Jesus Christ. So we will be delivered from this period of judgment, and once God's people are taken from the earth, then that 7-year period begins. And as part of that 7-year period of judgment, Satan empowers the Antichrist and he will determine to destroy, annihilate the nation of Israel. Jeremiah 30 verse 7, as I've already mentioned, he makes reference to the spirit of judgment upon the nation of Israel as a time of Jacob's trouble. It's where God pours out his wrath and judgment and he gives Israel that last opportunity to repent and lift up their eyes and acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Messiah. But it will come at a price. In fact, if you turn to Zechariah chapter 13, please. Zechariah chapter 13. One of the minor prophets. Not so minor, it's 14 chapters. It's the book just before Malachi. And after Malachi is Matthew. How's that? Look at Zechariah, please, chapter 13. Note then verse number 8. It gives us some insight concerning the tribulation period and how many of the God's people, the nation of Israel, will die during this 7-year period. Look at verse number 8 of Zechariah chapter 13. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But the third shall be left therein. Then note then verse 9, and I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name and I will hear them and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. So this wonderful prophecy here in the book of Zechariah tells us that within this time of judgment, within the tribulation period, no less than 2/3 of all Israelis, Jewish people, will die within that 7-year period. 2/3 of all Jewish people will die in the tribulation period. But 1/3 will be spared. And this is what Daniel chapter, if you go back to Daniel chapter 12 verse 1, note at the end of the verse it reads, and everyone that shall be found written in the book, at that time thy people shall be delivered. So 1/3 of the nation of Israel will survive the tribulation period. 2/3 will die during that time. What a horrific time it will be. This will be far worse than the Holocaust of World War II. And how necessary it was for Michael the archangel to protect Israel from total annihilation. For God and his sovereign will doesn't allow that. Because as Zechariah chapter 13 makes reference to the fact that God refined the nation, but God had to bring to judgment 2/3 of the nation in order to refine the nation. for there to be a pure remnant. What a price. So a remnant is spared out of this horrible time of judgment. And as a result, they become a witness of His saving grace. And these believers are used of God to turn many unto righteousness. That's the context of Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. Look at verse number 1 once again. At that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So the context of this verse is in reference to the tribulation period and how God will use the redeemed, God will use His own people, the nation of Israel, to preach the gospel and to turn many others unto righteousness. That's the context of this verse. This is all about soul winning in the tribulation period. But the application for you and I is for today, is it not? That's the immediate context. Soul winning in the tribulation period. Even though 2/3 of the nation of Israel will be annihilated, God will redeem that 1/3 and God will use them to turn many unto righteousness. Many unto righteousness. And in Revelation chapter 7, please, it makes reference to the many. Quickly, are you still with me? Now, this is going to be our yearly theme, so you might as well know the context. The background. So Revelation chapter 7, note then verse number 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Look at verse number 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. And look at verse number 14. If you're not convinced, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So here in Revelation chapter 7, the Bible teaches us that a great multitude of Jewish people are converted, 144,000 evangelists, and they preach the Word of God, and beyond them, countless others are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, are brought to Jesus Christ during this time of judgment. And my friend, this morning, God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I plead with you this morning on this first Sunday of 2018, listen to me, Jesus Christ is coming again. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive in Christ shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with Him. And if you are without Christ, you will remain behind, and you will go through a period of judgment, a time of tribulation, where countless people will lose their lives just amongst the Jewish people. 2/3 of the Jewish population will be dead by the end of the tribulation period. That's besides Gentiles that will die during the tribulation period. God in His justice must pour out His wrath upon sin. But for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And my friend, this morning, God doesn't want you to go through the tribulation period. He wants you to be born again. He wants you to be a part of His bride. Don't you want to be a part of the bride? Who wouldn't want to be a bride? have rocks in your head if you wouldn't want to be a bride, especially the bride of Christ. The bridegroom's coming again. Are you ready? Well, if you're left behind, it's all yours. Seriously, if we don't finish this service, all of a sudden, my friend, you notice that a good number of us are not here. Help yourself. Help yourself. The keys of my car just hanging around the back there. Help yourself. House keys there, help yourself. I ain't coming back. I'm going to be with the Lord. But don't be deceived. That year of tribulation will begin with seemingly peace. But within 3.5 years, that Antichrist, that beast, that man of sin will reveal his true colors. And then literally all hell will break loose. That's besides all of the judgments of God that will fall from heaven. So Daniel makes reference to the nation of Israel and how God will spare a remnant. Zechariah tells us it'll be at least a third. Every one that shall be found written in the book. And these are the ones that will many to righteousness. Let's note just a couple of quick principles from verses 1 to 3 that might help us to turn many to righteousness. So we understand that this theme, turn many to righteousness, the context, that it comes from salvation, deliverance, and a time of judgment, the tribulation period, that there'll be those that will turn many to righteousness in that time. I'd like for you to note that there is resistance. If you are serious about turning many to righteousness, you will have resistance. The nation of Israel experienced resistance from the enemy. In the tribulation period, the nation of Israel will be persecuted. God's people will be persecuted. And I'd like to do the application, my friend, if you and I are serious about turning many to righteousness in 2018, there will be some resistance. We likewise need to understand that we will experience some opposition. God's people experience opposition. That's why God had to appoint an archangel by the name of Michael to protect them. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But praise be to God, the greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you and I are determined to turn many unto righteousness in 2018, we need to be mindful that there will be some resistance. For 2 Corinthians 2:14 tells us, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, making manifest the savour of His knowledge by us in every place. We're on the victory side. And then if you and I are determined to turn many unto righteousness, just like God's people experienced opposition and will experience opposition in the tribulation period, you and I will experience opposition if you're determined to turn many unto righteousness. But my friend, we need to be mindful that judgment is coming. And we shouldn't allow the opposition to distract us or discourage us or demotivate us. We need to be motivated by the fact that judgment is coming. God will judge sin in His justice. Nobody will escape the judgment of God. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Note there in the book of Jude, Verse number 15, please. In the New Testament, the book of Jude. Just before the book of Revelation, Jude, verse number 15. There's only one chapter. Verse 15, it reads, "To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." See, God will execute judgment. Judgment is coming. Jesus Christ shall judge the living and the dead, the quick and the dead, at his appearing and at his kingdom. God is a God of action. He will judge sin. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And as we noted in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, even though two-thirds of the Jewish people will die in the tribulation period, one-third will be spared and come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Messiah. That's the mercy of God. So in the midst of judgment, there is salvation. And my friend, if you and I are determined to turn many to righteousness this year, there will be opposition. But don't let that discourage you. But may the fact that judgment is coming. And when God pours out his judgment, there is no escape. No escape. That ought to motivate us. If you go back to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, it makes reference to the reality of two options. There is a resurrection. Many of them that are asleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. This is the first mention of everlasting life in the Bible. First mention. In fact, it's the only mention of everlasting life in the Old Testament. And the Bible makes reference to some will have part in the resurrection unto everlasting life. Now this will take place at the beginning, or just before the beginning of the tribulation period. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And the scriptures seem to imply that at the end of the tribulation period there will be another resurrection of everlasting life. All those Old Testament saints and all of those tribulation saints that have died during the tribulation period. But then the Bible talks about another resurrection, a resurrection of shame and everlasting contempt. If you go to the Gospel of John, please, chapter 5, it gives us further insight. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. Note then verse 28 and 29. The Gospel of John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice," all, "and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So the Bible makes reference to the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. This resurrection of damnation, this resurrection of shame and contempt, is in reference to all those without Christ will be resurrected at the end of the 1,000-year reign. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, it talks about the great white throne judgment. Blessed is each one that has part in the first resurrection. That's the resurrection of life, eternal life. But then there is a second resurrection, a resurrection of damnation, a resurrection of judgment, where God in flaming fire takes vengeance on all those that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from His glory and from His power. The Bible teaches us there are only two options, my friend. The resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. The resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. Which resurrection will you have part in? The Bible doesn't give us option 3, 4, and 5. You won't find in the Bible the option of purgatory, where you can be paid out of hellfire, so to speak. I'm sorry, option 3 is not available according to the Word of God. Or some would say, well, there's annihilation, is there not, Pastor? Don't you just die and that's the end of that? No, no, no. The Bible teaches us we have an eternal spirit. Once you die, you'll either be part of the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. Oh, but Pastor, I believe in reincarnation. Oh, my friend, may I remind you, it's a point on the man wants to die. I'm sorry, you won't come back as a turtle or a cockroach, let alone a bear or a cat. You die once and then the judgment. You'll either have a part in the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. They're the only two options. And may God motivate us to turn many to righteousness, my friend, because people only have two options. They'll either be a part of the resurrection of life, or they'll be a part of the resurrection of damnation. That's the two options. Judgment is coming. There are only two options. And then last but not least, in verse number 3 of Daniel chapter 12, it's with that all in mind that verse 3 reads, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." My friend, don't allow discouragement, opposition to stifle you from turning many to righteousness in 2018. My friend, may pending judgment motivate us to turn many unto righteousness. And I plead with you, God's people, this morning, the reality of two options, the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation, may it also motivate us to turn many unto righteousness. And also, people of God, may we be motivated to turn many unto righteousness simply because God will reward us. Shall shine as the brightness of the firmament and the stars forever and ever. He that winneth souls is wise. Not only wise, but they will reap eternal rewards. So let's turn many to righteousness in 2018. You might say, "Oh, Pastor, that's difficult." Listen to me. How difficult would it have been, will it be, for those to turn many unto righteousness during the tribulation period? Is that not the context of this challenge? Have I convinced you? That's the context of the challenge. It's the tribulation period, turning many unto righteousness during time of judgment and time of persecution. And we, on a smaller scale, live in a day in which God's people are being persecuted. And God is pouring out little by little His judgment upon a people that have forgotten their Creator. And we've been charged with the challenge of turning many unto righteousness. That includes your loved ones. My loved ones. Your friends. My friends. Your neighbors. My neighbors. Your city. My city. There's a lot to do. I'd like to encourage you to roll up your sleeves. Roll up your sleeves and let's get busy turning many into righteousness. Because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. But oh, there'll be a reward for those of us that turn many unto righteousness. May God help us to be soul winners in 2018. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.